Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Well, let's look at Hebrews tonight, today. For the sake of time, let's Hebrews chapter... How everybody doing today? You guys good? Welcome to Hungry for God Church, the place where God lives. Hebrews. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Before I teach, Holy Spirit, just show me. If you've been battling with migraine headaches, the Lord wants to heal you. Maybe you came here today, that's you. Just stand up, God wants to heal you. And somebody just stand next to her. You can stand up, miss. Amen. Just receive in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you for your lordship today. We command migraine headaches to leave this woman right now. I bless her. And I curse the spirit of migraine headaches from influencing and damaging her body. I command all the pain to leave and never to return. In Jesus' mighty name, I speak healing. I speak health and I speak full recovery in every aspect of her body. Hallelujah. Just put your hand on your forehead like this. Miss, thank you. Receive in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, touch. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, heal. Holy Spirit, deliver. I speak to her vision and I command it to be restored now. You will not lose your sight. You're not going to lose your vision. You won't lose your eyesight. That's God's gift to you today. You're not going to lose your sight. Your eyes will not grow dim. I command your vision to be restored, the blurriness to come back, to leave, and I command your vision to remain strong, to be full till the day you leave this planet. Thank you, Lord God, for touching her body and restoring her today. No more headaches, no more pain, now in Jesus' name. Amen. It's done. Amen. All right. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. And if you have had migraines, receive that too. That's one of the first healing miracles I received in my body. I used to get bad migraine headaches to the point where when I used to run track and I would go outside to play basketball, the light would be, I was like absorbing this intensity of light to the point where when I got back in the house, I just knew to expect to get ready for headaches. I have the Excedrin and all this, the pills ready to take because I knew I was going to get one if I stayed outside too long when I played. And I remember one day I said, Lord, there's no headaches in Jesus. There shouldn't be any headaches in my body. I was in high school. You know, the Bible says that our lives are hidden in Christ. So the truth of the matter is who you are is not, you're not your true self until you see yourself in Christ. You're not your true self because when God died for us and he redeemed us, he put us in Christ, the Bible says. And now that we're in Christ, all that he is, we now have access to. Okay? And so I said, Lord, there's no headaches in your body. So there should not be any in me. I'm a part of the body of Christ. And I got on my knees and I began to sing. In the middle of a headache, I got down on my knees and I just began to sing a worship song to God. Because I knew that God dwells in the praises of his people. So I began to praise, and I invited God to come. And as I was singing, the pain just started leaving my head. And I got lost in the singing, then I forgot that I had the headache. And so after I got back off the floor, and I realized the headache was gone. And from that moment, I used to get headaches every time I went outside, every time I ran, every time I played. From that moment on, I never had headaches again. There were two times it came back. But when it came back, I just reminded the devil and I reminded myself. I said, there's no headaches in me. I'm healed of this already. And I never accepted it again. Now, I went outside, I can play, I can sit outside all day. The heat doesn't bother me. And after that, I began to pray with people who had headaches and migraines and it would go away. I'm not talking about headaches, I'm talking about migraine. Anybody know what a migraine feels like? A migraine is worse than a headache. But a migraine, you can't even see out one eye or two, depending on how bad it is. Cripples you. What's that? It's like an earthquake inside your body. It hurts. But God, I want you to have migraines, amen? So receive your healing today in Jesus' name, amen? God is the Lord of headaches, all right? You invite him into that headache's doorway. All right. What do we say? Hebrews 12. Let's hurry up. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. The Bible says, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with everybody and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. All right? We've been in our series talking about revival. Everybody say revival. This is revival. And we're coming to the end. We only have a few more weeks left about that series. And we cannot have a conversation about revival without talking about holiness. We have to touch on holiness. And we have to deal with this word that, depending on what religious circles you've come from, it's probably one of the most confused terms that you've probably been exposed to when it comes to knowing God. But one of the things we've got to be clear, the Bible makes it very clear that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. If you are serious about seeing God, if you're serious about experiencing the Lord and knowing him, if you're serious about seeing revival, then you have to be serious about holiness. The Bible doesn't tell us to pursue revival. It says to pursue holiness. The Bible says, follow after peace. Some translation says, pursue. Follow peace and pursue holiness. What I hope to do today is, really quick, give us a fresh revelation about that term, because it's one of the most important words is this word called holy. The most repeated phrase in heaven is holy. When the Bible says that there are 20 angels or elders that sit beside the throne, and they repeatedly say what? Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. That when they see God, the one thing they can't help but say is holy. God is the epitome of holiness. And he is so holy, the Bible talks about a man named Moses, that when Moses first saw God in a burning bush, the Bible says that when Moses saw God, God said to Moses, Moses, take off your sandals, take off your shoes, because you're standing on holy ground. That where God's presence is, the ground itself becomes holy. I believe that God wants our churches to be like burning bushes, to the point that when people come around us, they can't help but change the way they walk. They can't help but change the way they talk, because the holiness of God is emanating from our churches. If when we see revival, revival is really an invitation back to a life of holiness. Like, the goal of revival is to make us holy. If the Bible says holiness is the only way that we can see God, then this is a non-negotiable element. This is an issue that we cannot compromise on, holiness. All right? What I want to deal with today in a few minutes is, how can sinners like us ever expect to walk in the holiness that God possesses? Right? Like, most of us will immediately count ourselves out of the equation about holiness when we hear that word. Because when you think about holy, you think about the most clean or the most pure thing that you can ever think about. But the word holy actually simply means to be set apart. That's all holy means. It means to be set apart for a specific purpose. Okay? If you're taking notes, write that down. Holy, the definition of holy, to be holy, or what holy is, or what holy is, the word itself means, is means to be set apart, or sanctified, or set apart for a specific purpose. And we all have things that we consider to be holy in our own personal lives. There are things in our lives that we say it's off limits only to us. Right? There's some things that you're willing to share, and there's some things you keep for yourself. And the things you keep for yourself belong to you and is not for anyone else. Those are the things that's holy in your life. I remember growing up, my mother used to have something called a brick front. And in a brick front, she would put all of the dishes and dinnerware that was holy. We didn't use those on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We used those dishes only for big days like Thanksgiving or Christmas or somebody come over, New Year's. But we didn't touch the items in the brick front. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? That stuff is holy. That's what holiness is. It's set apart for a specific purpose. Now, the interesting thing about this is that not only is God holy, but the Bible says that he wants us to be holy. That when he died for us and he redeemed us and called us out of sin, the Bible says that he made us his holy people. And being his holy people means that God says, these people I want to keep for myself, for my purpose. Holiness has everything to do with purpose. It has everything to do with who God has created you to be and you fulfilling the potential that God has created you to fulfill. See, potential is something that I want us to begin to become very, very interested in, because God is after seeing you fulfill your greatest potential in life. And the only way that you can fulfill your potential in life is to actually begin to walk in this thing called holiness. Anybody say, I want to be holy? Okay? Holiness, I want to give a definition for you. Holiness is the acquisition, write this down. Holiness is the acquisition of your potential in God. Holiness is the acquisition and attainment of your potential in God. Potential is a word that simply means to be capable of being or becoming. Potential means capable, to be capable of being or becoming. Potential also means to be, it means possible as opposed to actual. You see, potential, how many people know that having potential doesn't get you into the Olympics? Right? Having potential doesn't make you a millionaire. How do you even know that everyone in this room has the potential to become a millionaire in life? Right? We all have the potential to become world-class athletes if we want to. But potential alone is not enough. I realize God is obligated to fulfill his purposes or to fulfill his promises, but he's not obligated to fulfill my potential. And most Christians today walk around expecting God to make them something that he wants them to be. You see, potential without pursuit will just be a possibility but not an actuality in your life. Potential without pursuit will only remain a possibility and not an actuality in your life. We have amazing potential. The Bible says that we were created in the image and likeness of God. Genesis chapter 1, 26 tells us that, right? We were created. God created us in his image. God created you to look like him. God created you to act like him. God created you to function like him. You're the only species in the universe that has the potential to actually be just like God. Hallelujah. You're the only species in the universe to be like God. God designed you. God created you. God fashioned you for the purposes of being like him. And all holiness is you acquiring the potential in God that he created you to be. You see, when we look at another verse, let's fast forward really quick to 1 Peter chapter 1. Hurry up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. All right? The ultimate goal and purpose of a revival is to make us holy. All right? So when God sends revival and reformation, it's to help us step into the potential we have to be just like him, which is holy. Okay? Look at our 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. I love that statement because it lets us know that our minds has reproductive abilities. Loins, your mind has loins. It has the ability to reproduce something. Do you know that you are a sum total of all your thoughts? You are the sum total of everything you think. All right? So when we talk about holiness, he addresses our thinking. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy. So the Bible itself never defines holiness. As a matter of fact, the Bible doesn't define many things. It's very rare you'll go into the Bible and the Bible doesn't tell you what something is. There's only two things that we actually find definitions of in the Bible. Right? Faith. Right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and love. Love is patient, kind. All right, and I believe that the Bible actually defines it because it's stressing how important those things are. But when God defines being holy to us, look at what he says. He says, be holy, for I am holy. So, look at this. Look at the insight. God defines to us how to be holy by pointing to himself. God tells us, be holy because that's who I am. Why would he point to himself? Because if he's holy, and the Bible tells us that we were created in his image and in his likeness, then the only way that we can ever, ever step into holiness is by actually allowing God, who is holy, to actually make us holy. In other words, I can't be holy in my own works. I can't make myself holy. The one who is holy has to actually make me holy. Come on. And what we see religion and tradition do is that they reduce holiness to a long skirt, a doily on your head, not going to the movies and staying away from everything. It's like we've taught holiness about just avoiding stuff. But that's not only what holiness is. Holiness is actually becoming like God, right? Holiness is pursuing God-likeness because that's what it is. He is holy, and he says, be holy because I am holy. Holy is being like God. So let me tell you some things that are not holy. Being sick is not holy because God is not sick. Being broke is not holy, because God is not broke, right? Being depressed is not holy. God is not depressed. Come on. Everything that's not like God is not holy. Not forgiving people is not holy, because God forgives. Right? If we want to be like God, what we're saying is I want to be holy because God is holy. He created me to be like him, and I want my life to be a reflection of who I was created to be, because that is my full potential. That's who God has created me to be, and as obedient sons and daughters of God, our desire is to be like our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. And we want to be like God. It starts with having a passion and a zeal to be like him. If you don't want holiness, you don't want God. If you don't want to be holy, then you don't want to be with God. Because the only way we can be with him, or the only way we can see him, is if we have holiness operating in our lives. Hallelujah. And he says, I will make you holy. I will make you holy if you pursue me. The way we become holy is by wanting to be holy. Desiring to be holy. To pursue God-likeness. Are you hearing me? Being rebellious is not holy because God is not holy. I mean, God is not rebellious, right? If we are to look at every area in our lives that need transformation, it starts by looking at the nature of God. It starts by looking at who he is and beginning to allow our lives to adjust to his nature, his attitude, his persona, his personality, and stepping into the fullness of what that looks like. Come on. So I said, being broke is not holy. Religion taught you that poverty is something that's supposed to be admired. That's not, being broke does not please God in any way because you're not reflecting who he really is. Come on. God wants you to be blessed, so blessed that the Bible says you're able to be a blessing. Some of us can't be generous because we're so worried about money. But God wants you to have so much grace and blessing working in your life that you can give and not give second thought about it. Some of you got people that you've loaned money to. You're so concerned about them giving that money back. Listen, let them keep it. It's more blessed to give. It's more blessed to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because God gives. God didn't give you a spirit and he wants to take it back from you. The Bible says he lets his rain fall on the just and the unjust. So even if you want to serve him, he still blesses you. That's called common grace. He gives grace to everyone. Come on, say, I want to be holy. All right? What else is not being holy? Being uneducated is not holy. Being fearful is not holy. Being rude and impatient is not holy. Procrastination is not holy. God is always on time. Procrastination is not holy. See, these things in us that causes us to live below our potential. We need to go after allowing our, we want to put our hearts in God and say, God, I want you to deal with this thing in me that does not help me reflect who you are. Are you hearing me? And not making excuses and say, well, I'm just human. Right? I hope that excuse, we debunked that myth here at H4G over and over again. The Bible says you are a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. You have the potential and the ability right now to live like God. That's why God gave you the Holy Spirit. Not the love spirit, the peace spirit, the joy spirit, but the Holy Spirit, because his main goal is to make you holy. Make you just like God. I gotta wrap up. Give me a few more minutes, right? All right, so it starts by believing. Holiness starts by believing that you are already like God. All right? Everyone is created to be like God. Therefore, everyone is created to be holy. All right? Not just a priest, not just a pastor, not just a nun. Holiness is for everybody. All right? And because holiness is for everybody, our greatest pursuit in life is to be like God. Our greatest pursuit. It's to be like him. Come on. To be with him and to be like him. And if that's your desire, the Bible says that he will equip you with the grace to be holy. Our last verse for today. Fast forward to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Again, so how do we begin to pursue holiness? We got to believe that, number one, holiness is our true nature. It's our true created nature. We were created to be holy from the very beginning. Holiness is God-likeness. So when we reduce holiness just simply to our dress code, then we've greatly lost what that looks like. Holiness is being able to heal the sick like Jesus. Holiness is being able to move mountains, all right? Holiness is to be able to see breakthrough. Holiness is the ability to cast out demons in people, all right? Holiness is presence and power magnified in our lives. The more we become like him, the more we live like Jesus and do the works like Christ, we're living holy. Holiness is to be able to forgive people that don't deserve technically our forgiveness, but we forgive them anyway because we're like God, because God forgives his enemies, all right? Holiness is doing, is living every, living our lives to the fullness of who we are created to be in him. And I'm concerned that so many believers today are willing to settle to live beneath their divine privileges. That we're comfortable being powerless. We're comfortable having prayerless lives. We're comfortable giving in to sin that easily. The Bible says we need to throw off the sin that easily besets us. But instead, we've got this warped grace message going around. People say, oh, I'm easily just going to step into grace. I'm easily going to sin because God's going to forgive me anyway because he's going to give me grace. No, grace comes so that it can change your capabilities so that you can actually live like God. Sin is the inability to live like God. Jesus Christ came to deal with sin so that we cannot live like God, so we can have function like him again, living in that glory. Look at Ephesians 1 as you wrap up. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I'm going to get back to this next week. But the Bible says God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, before we were formed, before we were created. We were chosen by God that we should be holy. And who is holy? God is holy. So that we should be him. The Bible says do holy. It says be holy. Okay? It's being like God. That we should be like God, be holy, and without blame before him in love. Woo! I wish I could break that down, but we got to wrap up. But the scripture says, in order for us to fulfill our potential of holiness and godlikeness in our lives, Bible says that he allowed us to be chosen, but to be without blame before him in love. In other words, God says, yeah, I know you have some tendencies in you that will cause you to fall short of your potential. But I've allowed you to be holy without blaming you. God says, when I look down from heaven towards you, I'm not looking at you with fault. I'm not looking at you with anger. I'm not looking at you with the sense that, well, you're not living like me. You're not living holy. So I'm going to come down on you and judge you for your inability to live like me. No, the Bible says that before the foundation of the world, God chose us to be holy. He made a decision to say, those people who are my people, who believe in me, who receive my love, I will call them holy even before they actually live up to their full potential of being holy. In other words, before you get it right, I'm still going to look at you and call you holy. And I won't blame you for sin. I'm not going to blame you for your shortcomings because I know that you're growing up. Come on. And it is this truth that's the foundation of how you're able to grow up in love and grow up in God. Because not only is God holy, he's love. So the way we grow up in becoming like him, church, is by learning how to grow up in our identity as loved sons and daughters of God. Amen? You are loved, church. God looks at you without blame, without fault. There's no condemnation for those of you that are in Christ. As long as you are willing to pursue holiness and to pursue God-likeness in your life, God says he looks at you and he wipes all your sins away. He wipes all your transgressions away. He's not looking at you and tallying up all the shortcomings. The Bible says a just man may fall 7 times, but he gets right back up again. And the reason why you can get up again is because you don't allow your identity to be shaped by your fall, but you realize that your identity is greater than your fall. So you get back up and you say, listen, I'm going to still be holy and live holy because my God called me holy. Hallelujah. He calls me holy. He calls me like him. He chose me to be like him without blame. So I want you to stand and I want you to find 3 people around you and tell them. Find 3 people and tell them God is not blaming you. God does not blame you. He's not blaming you. Hallelujah. He's not blaming you, because one day he knows you're going to get it right. You're going to step into your fullness. You're going to step into your full potential. Anybody want to step into their full potential in God? Hallelujah. So Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that this truth is seeping into the soil of our hearts. And that, Father, there is going to be a new hunger and a new thirst and a new pursuit for holiness in our lives. We know that we're not perfect right now, but you have chosen us to be perfect in you. And Father, that's all that matters. That no matter what people may say, people may try to talk us out and make us try to feel guilty for the things we've done. And people may try to look down on us or turn their nose down on us. But as your people, we know, God, that as we continue to pursue you and continue to walk in love and to continue to follow after holiness and to pursue holiness in our lives, that we'll see your fullness manifesting in our lives. Father God, deal with our potential this week. Lord, deal with our potential this week. Let us remind us that being sick is not your will. Being broke is not in you. Therefore, we want to truly manifest your nature in our lives. Father God, you are a God of abundance. Therefore, I will walk in abundance. Yeah. You are a God of health and healing. Therefore, I will walk in health and healing. Come on. God, you are a God who lives above your feelings. You don't allow your feelings to dictate your choices. So therefore, I won't allow my feelings to get the best of me this week. But I'm going to know that I have authority. I have the ability to walk in love, to walk in peace, to walk in joy, to walk in enthusiasm every single day of my life, God. My circumstances don't dictate who I am. My circumstances and situations don't determine what I will do. But Lord God, I get my identity in you. I get my authority from you, and you call me to walk just like you in this earth. So Father, deal with me. Deal with my abilities. Come on, come on, come on. I want you to ask God for holiness today. Make a decision in your heart to say, Lord, I want to live like you. I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you. I want to function like you. Come on, pray for it. Pray for it. Ask and you shall receive. If you pursue holiness, revival will come. If you pursue holiness, revival will come. If you pursue holiness, revival will come. Hallelujah. We want to be holy, God. We want to be holy, God. Come on. We want your ways to become our ways. We want your thoughts to become our thoughts. We want your words to become our words, God. We want your words to be our words. We want your identity to be our identity. We want your nature to be our nature. Come on, come on. Come on, we're getting ready to be dismissed. But before we leave, come on, take another minute and allow the presence of God to begin to saturate you. You cannot be holy without God. When you pursue his presence, he makes you holy. Come on, come on, pursue him. It takes God to be like God. Come on, go out to his presence today.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.